Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, crossover time. It's brought to you by Abundant Life Weight Loss. They know the secret to losing up to 1 pound of fat every day. Go to AbundantLifeWeightLoss.com. Gentlemen,
yeah.
What's going on?
Hey,
Willard and Dibs?
Yeah.
How's everybody doing today?
What's up, Rugu?
Dude, yeah.
Man, he came down your road.
Yeah, he did, and that's okay.
You were patient, yeah.
That one went over my head.
There's
the one to mess up. They called
this. There's a caller who called him Rugu. Intentionally to try to get to him. Yeah. And then he called him a homer like five different times about the Warriors. And I mean, you took it. You wore it.
Yeah,
and you're not a homer. You're not. I don't believe you're a homer.
I'm not.
So.
And there's nothing wrong with it. But I'll say this. I don't know what that was last night in Toronto. That, to me, was rock bottom. And I feel like with the chef who I've been fighting for, like Captain America and Draymond, to mortgage the future. And I told Steiny, we started the show with this. I felt like hearing him say, and Draymond worrying about when they're not here. Yeah, I could commend you that, but the LeBrons, the Jordans, the guys I believe that Steph are, they're like, get me Malcolm X, any means necessary. So I felt like Willard and Dibs, it was kind of a verbal white flag, or is there something going on we don't know about?
See, I didn't take it as a white flag, and I've listened to you guys a lot today, and I get where you're coming from with why it felt like that. But my argument would be, and Steiny, I think you started to allude to this. Like when I hear Steph do what he did last night, I think he's a hero. An absolute
Evan called him that.
Hero. Because he is self-aware. Why would you want
what?
But why would you want him to treat his organization like LeBron treats his organizations?
Because I thought you still think you're that close from being a threat.
But we've ripped LeBron for 20 years for running through organizations, being the GM, being irresponsible, leaving his team in a lurch. We've criticized him for that. And I understand where you're coming from, where you want Steph to be that dude. But A, I did not take yesterday to be the ultimate white flag. I took it to be the exact same comment that Draymond made in the offseason. We don't want to make a bad deal. We're not saying don't make a deal. We're not saying don't create an avenue if it's there. But we're not here to be narcissistic about the remainder of what we've got. I don't know. That's how I took it.
It's a white flag. I mean, and it should be. You've lost 17 to 24.
Damn.
And you go to Toronto in a game where you have rest and they stink. They've lost 16 to 17, and you had a 10-point lead. You can't score. You can't close. You can't win. So it's not a total white flag. Like, you know, Steph's going to now go into full load management and Draymond won't play again. But I do think there was a realization in that moment of, look, if we can't win this game in this spot, and Andrew Wiggins in a big homecoming, he can't do it. And, you know, the rest of your team, Buddy Hield is lost. He nearly airballed a shot to tie the game. Dennis Schroeder does not fit. And the rest of your guys are borderline G leaguers and second round picks. You're not good enough. And so it's not a white flag like Steph saying, I quit, I won't try. But I do think it's a realization sensation where you understand who you are and where you are.
I'm trying to figure out, because I know there's got to be something more to it. You know, Draymond, Steph, and Kerr all relayed the same sentiment about not mortgaging the future.
And I think this was coordinated.
Well, I just don't think it came out of thin air.
You're probably right.
So I wonder if there isn't a backstory, and maybe they just kind of know that maybe there's nothing there between now and the deadline.
What do you guys think about this? I wonder if there's sort of an adjustment that's happening, and maybe it's for the benefit of all of us, the fans and the media and whatnot, to where, and I can't wait to ask, Steve's going to be on with us in 2 hours.
Oh, I was just asking.
Yeah, Steve's going to be on. I really want to ask him what sounds like a dumb question, which is what's your goal this year, but I want to hear what words he chooses to answer that. I want to hear if the word championship comes out of his mouth, because what I'm hearing Steve say, and this goes all the way back to the Tim Kuhn feature article that you guys talk so much about, I don't hear Steve saying that the goal is to win Steph's fifth ring. What I hear everyone saying now is we're here to do our best to create an avenue for Steph. That just means an avenue. And then Steph is responsible for what happens from there. So if that means, because I still do think that this team could realistically make a move or two, get healthier, and still be a playoff team. I don't know where that goes, but I sort of think that Steph thinks, look, if we make the playoffs, then the responsibility is mine.
Get me there.
Yeah. Well, give me the resources to give me my best shot to get there. But when you hear him start talking about, like, we're here to entertain the fans and it's like,
give them thrills.
Right? Give the fans thrills.
That's different than when he was on your show. He was, and I cited this to Stani real quick. He said, when you asked him point blank range where Steph is at and what he has left, it's their responsibility to try to get him in the best position to get number five.
I asked him, is it realistic that a 36, 37-year-old
best
player on a championship team? And he said yes. He said yes. But again, this is also like today. Today we all feel like crap. I don't know how you're going to feel if they win, but tomorrow, do you know what I mean? Like this is this moment in time. And I think that Steiner, you're probably right. Some sort of a coordinated messaging.
I do wonder, like, man.
Yeah, it's like maybe this isn't about a championship. Maybe this is creating an avenue for Steph in a dignified way to do whatever it is he's going to do on the way out, and all of us get on that bus and experience that ride, but not let that ride destroy the organization.
No, but
that's all.
And that's what they're wrestling with, clearly. You know, what would be too much to give up down the line? And it does feel like, and I remember Lacob said something like this, feels like about 6 months ago, that, look, we're not going to be giving away first-round picks willy-nilly. So they've got to find it. They want to make a deal, but they want to make a deal that won't hamstring them in 2027. But I think they're finding that's hard, if not impossible, for a guy they want.
Right, and I do think that the comments last night and Draymond the day before talking about that very thing, like about responsibility, and even Steve Kerr's comments yesterday talking about dignity and, you know, competitiveness. And basically what I heard Steve say is, no matter what, you have to play hard, you have to compete, and you have to play with dignity. And even if this doesn't result in a playoff berth or even a play-in berth, there's the right way to play. There's the right way to be a professional basketball player. And I do think they're more focused on that now than they are about, like, you know, we're just one guy away or we need to make a big swing and all the rest of it. The reality is you're now 19 and 20. So we are almost halfway through the year. We're two games away from the halfway point, and you are mediocre. And you were great at 12-3, and now you've lost 17 to 24. So are you then? Are you now? You're both. The bottom line is you're 19 and 20. And what I hear Steve talk about is things that are more about, like, how you play, not about who you want to be.
Yeah. And I asked Stani and the listeners this. You guys tell me what you think. The Warriors said, hey, Jonathan, we're uncomfortable or we don't know what you're worth. So we'll get to it later. But him being away from the team, just from an eye candy visual, when I watch this team, I mean, he is missed. Like, nobody, even the Warriors were saying, and Dre, like, it's Jonathan Kuminga's time, and Curry and Kerr, but I think he's, you might disagree, I think he's making some money by what we're watching without him.
Probably.
Probably.
But, I mean, you know, like, we're not in the last chapter of the book either. Like, assuming he does stay, and I think he will, then all of those games matter too. You know, like, I still sit here today, and this is what I'm getting at about, like, I don't take it as a white flag. I wasn't really thinking that this was going to head for June anyway. But I don't take it as a white flag, because what if 2 weeks from today, let's go three. How about 3 weeks from today, they put a starting lineup out there where Draymond is on it, he's healthier, Steph Curry is on it,
okay.
Vucevic is on it, Jonathan Kuminga is on it, Dennis Schroeder has sort of figured out a slot a little bit better. You know, like, I don't think that's crazy talk. And I don't know what that team does. Does that team go on a run and win 8 of 11?
I would expect it to make the playoffs. Because I've lowered my bar.
I don't know if this is going to swing back the other direction like it did early in the year. Maybe.
Yeah, I would say no. I mean, Dennis Schroeder is not fit. And, you know, Vucevic, there's no guarantee that he, quote-unquote, fits. And also, he's not a very good defensive player. So you bring him in, and now you bring in another shooter and a guy who can score. He's a stretch five, but he's not a great rim protector.
We'll hate him when he
can rebound,
yeah.
But he doesn't shoot the ball very well. And, you know, Mark left off Buddy Hield, who I guess would still be here.
Maybe.
In this scenario, it would be, you know, whatever. It'd be GP2 and Kevon and maybe Buddy and Picks and whatever it would be. And you get Vucevic, and then your team is maybe a little bit better. But I look at where you are now, and you're the 11 seed, and you know you've got Steph coming up on being 37, and Draymond's got a back issue, and Andrew Wiggins is back to K-Wig days.
No, if you want to
put the rat on the table, brought to you by Atco Pest Control, you put a lot of rats on the table this week. That's one rat that's not been put out there. He's back. K-Wig is back as a format.
Were you bothered by him last night?
I'm not bothered.
He's pretty good.
He's fine. He's fine, but these are the times you need him to be a good player. You need him to be impactful. He was not a take over the game number one overall. He did. He has.
When?
When you made it to the NBA Finals,
okay.
He was a takeover, 10-rebound player.
How many years?
We're going to do it as often as we need to.
That's stupid.
Because it's only stupid.
It's brainless.
Because he's a number one overall pick, and he's not good enough.
Then Sam Darnold, 5 years.
So then trade him.
5 years, $250 million.
That's why Sam Darnold's been on 4 different teams.
I watched Sam one time. And he did something good.
How many rings does Sam Darnold have, Mark?
How many
All-Star appearances does Sam Darnold have? The answer is zero.
You actually should be leading the charge that I'm saying.
I'm leading the charge for the reality of what we're doing with Andrew Wiggins.
Would you ever expect Andrew Wiggins to go be a dog?
I don't expect it, but all of you who want to hold on to this dream of either, hey, we can trade Andrew. Nobody wants him. Mm. You keep Andrew.
I didn't
He's
say
not
trade
very
Andrew.
Good. Well, what
he
are you
is
doing?
Good. He's not
fine.
A dog.
He's mediocre
He's not
at
a
best.
Dog.
He's a $22 million a year guy who's going to get you 12-5 in a loss. And when he is a positive, as
20.
We mentioned,
you 20
and your plus
night.
Minus, what was his plus minus?
I don't know. Who cares?
I care.
I don't like
because
what
as
does
I
that
mentioned
tell
to you,
you
yesterday, when he's a plus, they win. Mm. When he's a minus, they lose. And you don't have Draymond.
Well,
you don't have Kuminga. You don't have Pods. That's a game where he needs to have 26-13, and you win the game.
Okay, he's a +4, and they lost, so
it's
you're wrong. Anyway, he
I'm
was
not wrong.
He, yes, you were. You just said when he's a plus, they win. He was a plus, they lost.
They're 13-3 going into the last night he's a plus.
He was good last night. He was.
Yeah, he was super duper.
No, he was Andrew Wiggins.
Right.
You're crazy if you're expecting something different.
You're crazy if you're expecting this team to add Vucevic and be a playoff team.
Why? Yeah, that's not crazy at all.
It's crazy, in my opinion, because
time for the legal.
Good enough.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
January tradition.
I love you guys.
Writes everything off.
Well, I'm going to say this.
You did this 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I held on to that text forever.
And last year?
And
the year before?
If you do it every year, you're going to be right sometimes.
More often than not.
Yes, you're right. More
exactly.
often than not, you don't win a ring.
Don't just go back to the one time I was wrong.
No, but
you're allowed to.
You are, but you do it every year.
Put some respect on it. And I did it last year. And I did it last year, and what happened?
You're gonna
they
like
didn't
you're,
make it out of the play-in
you're
game.
You're going to act like your picks
and
are
I told
right.
you 2 months ago
Vikings
that
minus two
they,
and a half,
oh,
huh?
you can go to that all you want. I told you 2 months ago they had real problems, and you said, oh, 12-3, they're this team. What team are they? And I told you back then that they had real problems, and here we are.
And
they've lost 17 to 24.
And you're going
to
say
and
I disagree?
And now you're going to put Minnesota
you're gonna
on me.
You're going to say I disagree?
You're going to put the Viking
you're
loss
gonna,
on me?
You're going to tell
put
me
put some I, respect on what I told you
oh,
8
God,
weeks ago.
Fine, great. We respect you, Dibs. Who cares?
You don't.
Like, whatever. What you're going to tell me I thought the Warriors were going to win a ring this year or something? Like, when did I ever say that?
No.
Okay.
Right now.
So what are we talking about?
Over-under Warrior playoff wins at 3.5.
You're a dismisser.
What do you want?
You're a dismisser.
I'm a guy who looks at things in a real way.
That's
and
fine.
I don't just simply go, you know what? They're great.
I'm not criticizing it. It's who you are. You are a dismisser.
Don't pigeonhole me into
you
just
are.
One thing. I don't dismiss everything.
You are.
What did I say about the Niners this year? What did I say about the Niners?
You said they had depth problems.
I said
from
they'd
the
be
beginning.
12-5. I said they'd be 12-5.
I don't know what record you said they would be.
I'm telling you.
You didn't.
I told you they'd be 12-5.
Their over-under was 11.5.
And I took the over.
And we both took the under.
That's just incorrect. Yeah. And you can revisionist history all you want. I told you I thought they'd be 12-5. I told you that there were schedule losses, the Buffalo game, and it was 12-5. They won 6 games. So I'm a dismisser.
Yes.
False.
Yes. Factual. When you
all
see
right, let,
something.
Let me do this now.
Yeah.
Giants, 101 wins. Okay. Mark the tape.
Okay.
Verlander, 18-1. Cuckoo.
You're a dismissal unless you're being
sarcastic. I'm a Giants fan.
Exactly.
There it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Well, you know, one thing I was thinking about
4 hours, so it's fine.
I'm locked in.
Yeah.
Kerr, what time?
4 o'clock.
All right.
4 o'clock. And Tim Cowell, call me at 3.
Oh, yeah. I'm here, bro. Yeah, locked in. Yeah.
So remember when Draymond Green, they were in the pursuit of Markkanen, and that's the first time Draymond Green said, you know, I'd be stupid to give up.
Right. That's a bad trade.
Right. So that tells me that Draymond Green would be okay with mortgaging the future, but it's got to be the right guy. Like, I'm looking back at Markkanen, and I think Draymond was probably like, he's not that good. Like, he's not, we can't pay him $40 million and give up, give up some players and draft picks because, like, he's not that guy.
But didn't he say, correct me if I'm wrong.
They're trying to get both.
Didn't he say in that quote, it would be good for me?
He did.
But that's a bad trade.
He did.
Like, I don't know, man. I get where you guys are coming from, but I really think that Draymond and Steph are, this is self-awareness that I like. I like that they're saying we're not trying to rip the Warriors' jerseys off of them as we leave. Do you know what I mean? We're not trying to leave them sitting
there in
diapers.
You
got
to be thinking about Bron real quick.
Because
there's a lot of things I don't like about Bron. But Willard, I guess on the guru computer, I never came down his road of trying to get the organization to do something for the NOW that right now to get him in a position to win another title. I think that kind of comes with it, and maybe that's why I have problems, even if they were kind of just having wordplay with this is what it is. What happened to when you were in Vegas, Steph, and you were like, things change? It was cryptic, and it went viral. And I was like, yeah, hold them to that standard. They might not meet it, but yeah. But to hear that last night, I'm like, why are you guys, they sounded like fat cats. Hmm. Like, you know what? Draymond's got his check, and he's got a spine issue, a disc issue. Curry's getting 62.5 for this year. And to hear you say, it kind of was like we're calling the dogs off. If we don't get it, you know, we want this team to, like, I wasn't ready for that because I've been programmed by you all, the players and Kerr joining you guys saying, darn it, we're going all in. And then that sounded different.
Right, but I wonder what that is, going all in. Yeah. And I wonder what you want to do, everyone who wants to go all in for Steph, do you want to get Jimmy Butler and give up, whatever, $46 million worth of player and probably a pick or two? Mm-hmm. Do you want to get Zion, a guy who, yeah, he actually played a basketball game recently, but he's missed half of his games in his career. Do you want to get Brandon Ingram, who nobody likes? Do you want to get Zach LaVine, who doesn't defend and only shoots? I mean, what do we want to do for the all-in crowd? I wonder what you want to do. And that, to me, is where I stop short of what makes sense right now between here and the deadline in 23 days.
What would you do?
I would make an incremental move to get a little bit better. If it's Vucevic or Cam Johnson and you give up expirings and a couple of second-round picks or a first-round pick in 2031.
You would give up a future first.
I would rather not. But if I did, it would be a pick that is 6 years down the road, a pick that, you know, Steve's not going to be around for, and Steph and Draymond, and maybe by then you're good again. And that pick is not a lottery pick.
But you're doing it to make the playoffs this year, right?
No, I'm doing it to get better between now and October. Oh. Because I think even if you crawl in the playoffs this year, look at the West. There are three, if not four, teams that are clearly better than you. So even if you get in the play-in and you emerge and you get Steph a precious series, you're getting run out. You're getting motorboated. And so for me, if you're going to make a trade, you're going to get a little bit better between now and October, and then you get to the offseason, and you have a Kuminga decision, and you've got maybe some room to go out and get a free agent, and then Steph gets his real run at one last chance at being better. That's for me. I don't think between now and 23 days from now, there's no player out there for me or two players that makes you good enough or better enough to be an actual threat this year. I don't see it. And I'm here for it. I'm here to be wrong. And I know that I'm the naysayer guy, and, you know, I'm the guy who counting everyone out, and I get that. But I would love to see, and I would love to hear what those moves are that make you go from what you are, which is mediocre, to being like, whoa, Heads up, yeah. OKC.
Well, if it's not Butler or LaVine, there's nothing at the basketball Walmart.
Probably not. Maybe that's the coordinated discussion that you all heard yesterday.
Wow.
That's what they know that. Like, I mean, I don't know. All of the stuff that we've played with over the last 2 months, did any of those, even when they're just you and your trade machine at 11 p.m., did any of them make you go, now we're playing in June? Like, for real. Did anyone feel that way?
Well, I had my 7-for-4 trade last week, remember?
One was fun.
Yeah.
That one was fun.
You got to give it to me real quick.
I can't even remember. No, yeah. The Warriors traded 7 players.
Everybody left. Okay. And some new people
They got Valanciunas, and they got, like, you know, I might have been Brooklyn or Washington. I can't remember. It was so cockamamie.
Both of them.
The trade machine is fun because we can all dream, you know?
Like, that's who I am at heart.
I don't know, man. Their words all say the same thing to me. Like, just, didn't you guys say it earlier? If there was a move that could get them the 5 or the 6, you do it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If they have to do it out of the play-in, do it out of the play-in. But I honestly think that that's the way that they're thinking right now is, can you create a lane for Steph in the playoffs? And if you can, then we'll take what we get out of that. But this whole, like, is there something that you can do on February 3rd that makes you the big bad dog of the West? No. When was that a thing? You don't hear LeBron screaming at the Lakers to get him his man, do you? Nobody even asks him anymore. And they're ahead of the Warriors. So,
well, I wonder why D'Angelo Russell got traded. That feels to me like
everybody hates him.
Right.
And everywhere he goes, they want him gone.
That feels to me like LeBron was probably like, yo, we need to, you know, get him out of here. Yeah. Get me Dorian Finney-Smith. And so, boom, that was done. But do the Lakers go from with D'Lo to without D'Lo? They go from being a 7 seed to maybe a 6 seed? I don't think that the Warriors, from where they are, the 11 seed, I don't think that they can do anything to go from where they are to being a real, like, top 4, top 5 in the West, a real threat. So for me, it's about, you know, taking this year and kind of eating it, because D'Anthony Melton was a guy who could really help you, and he's gone. Slow-mo can't even get off the bench. Buddy Hield can no longer make a basket. And
no shot creator.
Dennis Schroeder has not fit.
The ball sticks.
Yeah, but by the way, when I call you a dismisser, it's with this background. I am absolutely flawed in the other direction, and I know that. But let's use the Kings as an example. What happened? They can't lose. What happened? They didn't make any changes to their roster at all. They can't lose again.
So do you blame Mike Brown? I asked Donnie this.
No, I don't know enough about what's going on up there.
But it's curious, though, right?
The timing was interesting, for sure.
And now they've won 7.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's just the way I watch sports. 8 days ago, the Vikings were 14-2. Now they suck. Mm. I don't know what happened. And I will always turn on the Warriors. I mean, look, if their roster was just total junk, but I will turn on the game again tomorrow night. And be like, I don't know. Maybe it's going to click tonight.
Yeah.
Maybe Schroeder's going to make sense tonight. Maybe Draymond's going to be back. Maybe it's going to look different. You know, the 5 weeks ago, you beat the Celtics in the Thunder. I don't know, man. Like, could you? Why? Does anyone know? Why have the Kings won 7 in a row?
Because De'Aaron Fox now actually cares about playing basketball again.
Is it that?
Some players said they're not practicing as much as they did under Mike Brown.
Okay.
I find that just a crock. I'm not an NBA player, but what if that's legit?
Go ahead, Steiny.
I mean, silent over there. I was like, come on.
Doug Christie, better than Mike Brown.
No doubt. Oh, no doubt.
Well, I mean, for right
now. Former coach of the year, Mike Brown.
Yeah,
I don't think much of Mike Brown as a head coach. Well, I just don't. Yeah. He got fired from the Lakers after like a year.
Didn't he get fired from Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, he might have taken the worst team ever to the NBA Finals. I'll give him that.
Anybody who coaches LeBron is
But that is number. Curious is they fire him and they've won
and
7.
They just clicked. And I mean, it's not even week 2. Look at who
Milwaukee did not. I believe.
Look at who they've been
Maybe
playing.
Boston.
Yeah, They just
the Warriors beat
back.
Boston.
That's true. Well,
yeah, they did. That was the different
all right,
Warriors.
Gents.
Yeah.
So you got Steve Kerr.
You haven't said anything.
Tim Kawakami, 3 o'clock.
You have to say something before you go.
About?
I don't know, an opinion about something.
I mean, like, if when I talk about not giving up picks, you want to give up a pick down the road, give up a pick. Multiple picks, I'm out. I'm out. Like, honestly, if you could get Vucevic in here, could you get from 10 or 11 to 6? Maybe. Like, I don't think that's outside the realm of possibility, but I can't be giving up multiple picks. It's one in 2029. That's it. That's me.
I agree with that.
On 95.7, the game.
Mm-hmm.